This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Always a great appreciation, D&M Auto Leasing, for that crosstalk brought to you by a man who has two buttons open on his shirt, baby.
Oh, got that taco meat.
You know
showing.
It's a Friday, baby. He got two buttons open on his shirt.
I have a tie over there I'm about to put on. I had to let it breathe.
That's my job. I'm usually the one that does that.
I got no taco meat, man. That's a clean shaven chest.
There you go.
Right there.
There you go. You can never accuse.
You think I am John Lopez?
Exactly.
You can never accuse Sean Pendergast of letting the taco meat show because it's a bare chest. All right, let's get going on a Friday. I imagine it'll get funky at some point because Figgy Fig in, John Lopez in. I'm Reginald Atula. Let's have a little fun with this one. And on the day after opening day, you know the fun is, let's overreact, baby. Like, let's take it to the wildest extents that you are willing to on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line.
The Texas Hammer!
What up, Jim? And I appreciate Sean also getting involved there as well. 713-572-4610. And then also, I see you good people on the Mo Kiram Injury Lawyers live stream.
We keep it 100.
That is the YouTube, which is Sports Radio 610, and also on the Twitch, which is 610 Houston. But yeah, let's get into the overreactions of it all, or just... what was the opening day feel for you? What were your vibes? How did you take it in? Did you go down to the ballpark? Did you go to the local watering hole? Were you at the crib? Like, what did it look like? What did you do to help spur on your Astros to a 1-0 record? In fact, standing alone atop
there we
the
go.
AL West.
It's over,
and on
baby.
Pace for 162
yeah.
wins.
Yeah.
Had to get that in. You know, we have to go ahead and get, in fact, the 3-4-6, they got it in before we even started the show.
Yeah.
On pace for 162-0.
Yeah, okay, so my first reaction is not an overreaction. I think it's going to be a reaction of a lot of people. Boy, I don't know if we can take this season the way we've been spoiled over the last few years.
Yeah, go ahead and get you.
I was just like, this is going to be a ride, baby.
Monitor.
This is going to be a ride.
Monitor your sodium intake.
Yeah.
Because, like, if you plan on watching a good amount of Astros baseball, particularly when they are on defense, monitor your sodium intake.
Let me give you a little example. So, not even Hader. I'm talking about the eighth inning with Abreu.
Yeah,
and,
that's
you know,
fair.
They load the bases. My wife walks through the room because she was cooking, and she goes, "That's it, they suck." like they're winning 3-0. That's it, they suck. Then in the ninth, I'm like, "Oh, they got them loaded again." Oh man, they're gonna suck, aren't they? I'm like, "No." it's a ride. It's gonna be a ride, baby. And I don't think that's an overreaction. That's a reaction.
Yeah, that's just a reaction to that. It's gonna be a ride. The idea that they're gonna suck is absolutely an overreaction.
Game one, ninth inning, still leading.
I will say,
they're gonna suck, aren't they?
If you're going to that overreaction, let's go ahead and hit it fully in the bullpen.
Now that was an overreaction. Mine is not.
I am scared.
Yeah.
Of the bullpen right now.
Yeah.
Like that is the overreaction, right? I think the reasonable portion of me is like, all right, you know, these things happen with a bullpen naturally. Is that you're going to have some instances where it gets a little dicey. dicey. You still end up with a situation where you get Juan Soto up with the opportunity to do something big with his bat and you catch him swinging. It is a backwards K and you're out of there with a victory, right? So, like, there, that's ultimately what still happened. And, you know, naturally, baseball is going to, especially with a pitcher, like, sometimes it'll look a little funky and then you look up and he's thrown seven scoreless, right? Shout out to Fromber. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm scared, right? Those are the two dudes that you are supposed to feel the most confident about, and maybe I'm just like not fully dyed in the wool of the stress that Hader and Abreu can bring you. Mm-hmm. But those are supposed to be the two ones that you're the most solid about, and I think that they threw 25 and 35 pitches respectively, if memory mm-hmm. serves, and I'll pull up the box score again.
I think it was.
I was like, yo, I am down. We didn't see any of the dudes that we've been supposedly looking at like, oh, what are they going to look like? And on top of that, I'm already in some way scared on a shorter scale for tonight mm-hmm. when they play the Mets in game two, because there's no way those guys are back up, right? Like after throwing that many pitches in the first outing. No,
I was thinking the same thing. Yes.
So who's closing this thing down tonight, right? Mm-hmm. Like all of those questions immediately popped up. But yes,
the bullpen, good question.
Bullpen scares me, dog.
Dude.
Bullpen scares me.
So my regular reaction is not my wife's overreaction. Mine is, it's buckle up. This is the way it's going to be all year long. Not just because, like, the bullpen and we're overreacting to the, you know, the 55 pitches that Abreu and Hader threw, but just the game in general. Like, you never, there were moments, you know, during the heyday, which is, you know, long stretches last season, where Astros are up 3-0. What was it in the, when did they go up, when were they up three? In the third inning, fourth inning? So it was early.
Yeah, because you guys were still getting texts from me at that point.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that during confessions. But
I was, you could tell it was opening day. I was all the way in.
But usually when they get a 3-0 lead, I'm thinking 8-1, 8-2, 10-3. Like, that game is over, right? I just felt uncomfortable even with 3-0.
Really?
Yeah, and I think that's just because the unknown and the uncertainty we have in certain areas with this team. Now, it's a good team. Nobody here is not confident in the Astros. I'm just saying the ride is going to be wild, baby.
Are you missing Ryan Pressly yet?
Oh, his name was mentioned by a certain someone's spouse as well. Oh, they got rid of Ryan Pressly, didn't they? God, you're just bitter today.
Nah, big ups to Jan. We need to have Jan's corner. We just need to get Jan takes in.
They sucked in the eighth. They got rid of Ryan Pressly, didn't they? And they sucked in the ninth. And then she's happy.
We need an uncut type of segment from Jan.
And then she's like, oh, great. You know, when they won.
W, baby.
Got the dub.
It's the ultimate panacea. The win will make everything feel better.
Like, forget everything I said.
I don't even know if this is an overreaction or just a joke straight out. Lance McCullers coming in to close the seventh and the eighth. Him ready in the pen because of the way that looked right off the top. Various people, I asked, like, where were you? How would you take it in? I appreciate the 3-4-6. They were on the clock, supposed to be working, but they weren't. Mm-hmm. Various people said they were at Woodrow's and Ito. Walked over to the park. Very good.
It's a good place.
At the game, turn. Someone said that when Isak Paredes came up to bat, you know, his walk-up music had all of our brothers and sisters in Latinidad singing in the park, which I imagine is fun. Hey, speaking of overreactions, mm-hmm. right, and this is a little bit off of the beaten path here, but I was looking at, you know, some just various media when it comes to baseball, and one of the things I saw had, I think it was from The Athletic, if memory serves me correctly, where they were kind of looking at the possible dark horse MVPs. Mm-hmm. And one of the names that came up as a dark horse MVP, and I think it was Grant Brisby of The Athletic, said Isak Paredes mm-hmm. as a dark horse AL MVP candidate.
I'm here for it.
And I was like, that feels real overreaction-y.
Yeah.
And I was the one who yesterday said he's going to outslug Kyle Tucker. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's
at this point, why the hell did they trade for trade Kyle Tucker? I mean, why they get Kyle Tucker then?
Yeah.
He could have kept him and Cam Smith.
Think about that.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of love being put in the fact that short porch mm-hmm. And left, the Crawford boxes, is going to do a lot of damage for Isak Paredes as he at bat. But I was like, MVP? Like, I was like, all right, he's going to be a really good third baseman for you offensively. I was like, man, MVP, that's real overreaction. Now, I will tell you the overreaction I had in my head. I don't even know if I sent you guys this text because mm-hmm. I was peppering other people as well with these texts. And one of them was when I saw Isak Paredes, the first couple of throws that he had, mm-hmm. one was to second, one was to first. For some reason, it was a looping throw. He double clutched, and I'm like, dog. I'm going to need you to get that ball out of there, brother.
Second. Yeah. I thought Soto was safe. I still kind of think he was safe.
I was like, when on the broadcast on Space City Home Network, they're like, okay, they're signaling like they're not going to challenge. I had a deep sigh of relief because I was like, if they challenge, Soto is safe at
center. From the angle I saw, it looked like he made it.
Now let's get to some other overreactions there that I have.
And I do want to say, when it comes to Isak Paredes, then when he made the dive and catch it, it brought me back to earth. I was like, okay, cool, we're good. Defense is going to be cool.
And this is going to be something we talk about all year, as we've talked about. But Jose Altuve, thoughts? Because I was like, okay, so this is going to be part of my confession at 12:20. We were texting with you and Figgy. I was also texting with my guys from the Bite Me podcast. They're huge baseball fans. Captain Scott, Captain Dean, Captain Caleb.
Big ups.
They're huge baseball fans. And Scott texted, so you're going to have to take back a little bit of an overreaction. You're going to have to take back everything you said about Jose Altuve. First of all,
1,000 fielding percentage, baby.
And I said,
nobody has had a better fielding percentage at left field than Jose Altuve. That's a fact.
And I said, why? That was almost a disaster.
In the first inning.
I was like, watch that again. You know, but they're huge Astros fans. Anything, you know, is going to be, a positive. But I was like, why?
Are you talking about this particular play that Jose Altuve had in the literal top of the first inning? It was like, I was wondering. I was thinking
when
to myself.
When is it going to happen?
Before this game, I was like, I remember all of the energy that we had for his first time in left field in spring, and then nothing gets hit to him. I was like, is there any possibility that that happens in the top of the first? The answer was absolutely not. He's getting the ball to him.
Ball into shallow left center field. Coming on Myers. Coming on Altuve. And Altuve cuts in front of Jake to make his first play as an outfielder.
That was like watching a car accident almost happen.
Dude.
Like they swerved at the last minute.
Yeah.
Real overreaction vibes. I like what you're doing here, 3-4-6. Boys, I think we got a Gold Glover in left field.
Oh, God.
That's a hell
of
an overreaction.
Is that Kevin Scott's number?
I don't know, maybe. But yeah, Altuve and Myers, I mean, it's in the left center field gap, right?
Yeah.
So in theory,
it's center field all day.
But I know that Jake, especially with the dynamics of your left fielder coming in with Altuve really like grabbing onto it, and Jake Myers being that guy who has a lot of range, the expectation. Even in that moment, I was like, all right, so Jake is going to handle this. Anything in those gaps?
Jake was calling for it. He looked like he had it.
And Altuve ran through right in front of him. And that feels like something you do in the infield because y'all play a lot. I was like, the outfield, we not playing like that.
No, that seemed like an all-star game type of goofing around.
Yeah, you're playing too much.
Thing.
I need you to lock in, right? I know that they've talked a lot. A lot of the people around the Astros, whether it's other people that are his teammates, Joe Spada, are talking about how much fun he's having in the outfield. I need you to hunker down a little bit. You're having a little too much fun.
That was an interception.
Yeah, bro. He came through and undercut him. He looked like he was out there on rush hour traffic in 59 swooping in front of folks. I was like, dog, what's happening? I'll give you this quote from Jake Myers after the game. Quote, he kept it and he caught it. That's all that matters. I know it doesn't.
Oh, it is.
I don't know it all. I know that it doesn't always look good.
Yeah.
And maybe I could have called it a bit earlier, but he made a great play. I hope I can kind of lay back the next time and let him make a great play.
Altuve just pretty much said, the hell you are. I'm catching this. The hell you are. I've been waiting for this for a long time, all spring long. What did I say in our text? It's going to be an adventure, man.
It is going to be an adventure. I was happy that he made that play because it was a good one, right?
Yeah.
Good route to the ball. Obviously made the catch. There's obviously going to be those instances where it gets a little dicey, but one of the things that also reminded me is like, yo, they also need to develop a rapport. I like that Jake Myers admitted that he probably could have called it a little early because it does seem like that is an admission that, okay, maybe it wasn't just how Jose Altuve in the moment. Right, might have been that, and it has room to get better. I don't love the idea that Jake Myers is like, yeah, next time I'll lay out. No, dog. I would like you in
catch
there.
Catch it.
I'm going to be honest.
Please catch it. One more here for you because this is truly an overreaction, but I think truly my feelings as well.
Oh, I hope you're going the place that I think you're going.
If this is the Framber Valdez that we get.
Oh, okay.
If this is the Framber Valdez that we get, this is going to be exactly what the doctor ordered. Sorry for the cliche, but I mean, ground balls, command, control, unafraid. He talked about that in the post game. I'm not going to be scared of anybody. And, you know, zero earned runs, seven innings in an opening day start.
12 swings and misses.
Yeah. Yeah, if this is the Framber we get, we're in business, and I'm looking at you, Jim Crane.
And that's here's the thing. If this is the Frommer we get all the way around, yeah. I was already concerned about the possibility that they were actually going to extend him.
Yeah.
We gonna end up in a place where you're looking at a compensatory pick, right? Like, that's what it looks like.
Yeah.
Because in my mind, I was like, how are you going to handle this? Because if he is so good, you can't afford to even try and trade him at the deadline and get something off.
Yeah.
Right? Which, yeah. I mean, you would just have to take this to the end of the season and say, thank you for your services.
Yeah. Let's get our pick.
It does not feel like this organization in their MO, especially with them talking about they have not held like significant extension conversations at this point.
Oh, boy.
You have all those things happening. It doesn't feel
like
they're
gonna
resign.
Where were you going to go, Cam?
No, I was going to go somewhere that the text line went from the 832 because I want to get to the overreaction. Mm-hmm. Cam did a fantastic job. Jake.
Oh.
RBI Jake.
Mm-hmm.
He gets the first RBI of the season for your Astros. And what was it, two hits?
Yep.
Jake Meyer's back. It's here, baby. We're going to make him an offensive player, y'all.
It was yesterday. That is an overreaction.
The real overreaction is that outfield is legit.
Oh, well. I mean,
that's a legit outfield, man.
Well, Cam did have that one where that he tried to slide in on and, you know, wasn't able to grab it. That was a little tough. And then there was another instance where then he decided to play a little conservatively. But I think he handled his business pretty well.
Mm-hmm. No, look, you can't say anything bad about Jake Meyers, but it's definitely an overreaction. I would fully expect Chaz McCormick to get the start today. I think they're going to be mixing and matching. And maybe we need to watch second base as well. Maybe they'll mix in Dubon because we heard what Espada said yesterday about, yeah, he's our starter today, but that didn't mean he's our starter. I'm like, what? Wait, what?
Yeah,
he's our starter, but he's not our starter.
Right.
So not necessarily our starter.
We're going to get a feel for all of those things.
Get these guys some early season, you know, starts and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. But one of the things that I really loved about this, and this is not really an overreaction, or maybe it is, right? Maybe we ultimately see these guys get a little bit more aggressive again, and maybe they don't stick to the plan. But it felt like, man, they did a great job with long, drawn-out ABs outside of, you know, maybe Jose, who, you know how
that's
it
what
is.
He is.
But these guys made sure to, like, see pitches and really work, you know, work counts. And then they built innings. It wasn't just big swings. And I think that's really what's going to be imperative for this team, especially because then when the big swings come, then you're just putting up crooked numbers on the scoreboard. It's not just, you know, solo shots. They were getting guys on. They were getting them over. In fact, even when Chaz McCormick was when he was subbed in as a defensive replacement for Cam Smith, once you had a 3-run lead, they, you know, he comes up to bat, and I'm like, oh, there's a bunt, right? Like, because they're just getting Pena over and trying to play a little small ball in that instance. So I was like, I like this attention to building innings because I think that's the thing that really applies pressure to a defense. So I really enjoyed seeing that. Somebody said, has anybody seen Chaz? We saw him yesterday. Put a nice bunt down. Sack bunt. So we still eagerly await his first at bat, official at bat.
That's right.
A plate appearance, but not an at bat. Man, super excited for this season and really excited that you're 1-0 as a Houston Astros. You stand alone atop the AL West and on pace for 162 games. All the cliches that we can get in.
And right, Juan Soto, scary dude. Just a scary looking dude. And why he swung at that pitch way out, it will take it, but I'm not exactly sure why he did that.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah, I very much appreciate it. Somebody said, give the outfielder shot collars. You get too close. You're too close.
Yeah.
You're too close to each other.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll definitely circle back around, talk more Astros, especially ahead of game two of this opening series later in the show. But coming up next, how was that for madness? A really good Thursday night. Let's talk about all the good and get ready for Cougars, Purdue Boilermakers tonight. We'll do that next.